a new generation, certainly to me, in terms of people that have grown up with the internet and grown up with all of those things at their fingertips. It's interesting to hear you talk about removing yourself somewhat from Bright Lights, Big City and concentrating in your own bubble somewhat. You know, where do you see your music fit and how do you consume your music? How do you stay up on what's around in the musical world?
I guess I'll have like once a month some strange form of like fast food binge on popular culture, and I'll just, you know, one weekend I'll just kind of try to keep up on what's happening, but most of the time there's kind of a strange back and forth between like listening to a lot of classical music that has nothing to do with what's happening right now, and then, you know, listening to the new Lady Gaga album because I feel like I should.
Yeah. I was sort of alluding more to the kind of world or the quote-unquote credible music world as sort of there's certain artists that set the internet alight, you know, with sites like Pitchfork, Fact Magazine and Resident Advisor. There's certain artists that they get very excited about, and you are certainly one of them now.
Right.
I mean, does that affect you? Do you sort of subscribe to that? Do you look at those sites?
I try not to. I had before in the past. Like Resident Advisor was something that I followed. But now it becomes kind of, there's a distance that you need to take at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're all wonderful sites, and there's a lot of music that I've found through them, and that's wonderful, you know. But yeah, there's a certain point you need to start taking distance from, you know, when reading Pitchfork becomes work or like kind of this like involved narrative. Do you know what I'm saying? You need to take a distance at some point.
So for you, sort of creating music without the sort of burden of outside influence.
Very important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, the new music that I've been making lately has taken this strange kind of sheltered attitude. It's almost like just church music that I'm making, kind of instrumental church music. And it seems like I usually psychoanalyze myself and make a song and then think like, why the hell did I make this? And then lately it's been like, you're definitely trying to get away from something and trying to like create some form of metaphysical other place. At least that's what I think I'm doing. I don't know.
What do you think you're trying to get away from?
I mean, I don't think like making music in this, whatever this is, would make any sense for me. Like, I don't think I could make anything worthwhile, you know?
Do you mean in this studio?
I mean in this world, in the, you know, press, shows, concerts.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm so humbled by it, and it's like I'm honored to be a part of all of this, but you have to take a distance when you're making music from this thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I guess it depends what you define as being, what you define as this, as in what makes up that machine.
No, I'm less talking about a machine than I'm talking about, there's a very different aspect of, you know, when you create a song, you have to be in one state of mind. And then when you're performing the song, either live or by saying hello to someone, in a way you're kind of performing your music also. I think there should be a clear distinction between those two things. And if they're too interrelated, then you can kind of, I think you can maybe lose something.
Do you feel that as well when you communicate with other artists, or do they have a different dispensation, like communicating as art people?
Oh, I mean, I have a lot of friends that they are their artist self when they make art and when they socialize.
Right.
Right. That's so common as well. I just simply, I'm not that way.
So there's two jars.
Very much so. And more and more so, actually. And it's funny that the track that's playing right now, The Student, is a track that I actually go back to a lot and think about. Like, I made this when I was 17, and you know, like I was feeling these things, and the more I perform, the less I feel this stuff. Mm. And it's important to keep this in mind, I think.
And what sort of things are those, and why does performing take them away?
And I mean performing in the largest sense of the world. Yeah. Performing so much, I guess, first of all, it's very tiring, you know, obviously. And to a certain extent, it can't be honest all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can have a bad effect on your music,
mm-hmm.
no matter who you are, I think.
Listen, before I let you go, I just want to know what you've got planned for this year. Obviously, you mentioned an album coming out in a couple of months' time. Looking forward to that.
In the fall, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be in the fall.
Where did I get April from?
So April is this compilation. Yeah, I mean, that's an album as well. But the Dark Side album. So for Cloud and Sunset scheduling, there's an album coming out by Acid Pauli in a couple of months. And a compilation also in maybe 3 months or whatever. And then the Dark Side full length in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of EPs sprinkled in between.
Cool, man. Well, listen, thanks a lot. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nicholas.
My thanks to Nicholas Jarre for the last 45 minutes or so. Recorded a couple of weeks back when he was in London town. Hope you enjoyed that insight into the world and a musical mind of Mr. Clown and Sunset himself. And it's always good to hear from you. BenjiBeat@bbc.co.uk. If you've got feedback, comments, even if you're listening on demand on the iPlayer, and if you did come in late towards the end of that interview and you want to hear more from Nicholas Jarre, then that interview available for 7 days sitting on the iPlayer. Seek and you will find. Into this one, brand new from Jimmy Edgar. Hot Flush Recordings. Tune called Switch, Switch. He's our guest next week, Mr. Scratcher, DVA. going to be playing through some of the new cuts on his brand new album Pretty Ugly Hyperdub Recordings, including this one to get you in the mood, a track called The Big Five. Valerio tonight, Jera, Jessica, Mickey Zamboki, Chiang and Chung, Nika Vidova, Evan Stanley Jones, Colby Vexler, Chukic, and Alex Cinematics as well, Melissa O'Dyer, Armin Zebari, Marius, and Theo Dartymore, Theo Witrulak, David Tejero, Jamie Nelson, Benjamin Carr, Dariush Azam, Limey Banton, Maro Gucciardi, Dion Wenning, Alex Nikolaev, Alyssa Stolmus, Peter Lombardi, everyone that came through on the Facebook page regarding Nicholas Jar. Don't forget, if you want to shout us out on the Facebook page anytime, it's The Benji B Show. Going to do our best to give that a facelift as well, aren't we? Just time to fit this one in briefly. A little bit of this from Honey Minock. And that's just about all we've got time for tonight. It's been Benji B on Radio 1 for the last 2 hours. My thanks for joining me, as always. And of course, my thanks to Nicholas Jarr as well. 45 minutes or so in conversation. Don't forget to leave us a message about that. The Benji B Show on Facebook, or benjib@bbc.co.uk on the email. It's always good to hear from you. I return same time, same place next week, Wednesday into Thursday, 2 till 4 a.m. on Radio 1 with special guest DVA in the mix. Coming up later tonight on Radio 1, Hugh Stevens is in for Zane Lowe. Scott Mills is in at 4, Greg James at 1, Fern at 10. In a few hours at 6:30 it's Chris Moores, but right now it's early breakfast and we're going to ride out to this one. Play this one for Dev. The Return of Santi, aka Santa Gold. Have yourselves a great week. Until such time, take care. Peace.